This Torah class is brought to you by TorahAnytime.com.
Perek Yud Zayin, Mishnah Yud Aleph. Up until this point, the Mishnayos have brought examples of halachic shiurim, halachic measurements, where the standard model that we use to make the measurement is the medium-sized variety of that item. For example, the medium amma, or medium-sized olive, for the gezayis measurement. But our Mishnah tells us, v'yesha amru b'mida daka. There are other instances in which the smallest form of the item in question is used to make the halachic measurement. We find this, the Mishnah says, in the case of midos halach v'yavesh, the liquid and dry measures. The pasuk speaks of the liquid measure of a hin. So, for example, the Torah prescribes the amount of wine libations that must be brought with the different offerings in terms of this liquid measure, the hin. For some korbanos, you bring a libation of half a hin, or a third of a hin, or a quarter of a hin. The dry measure the Mishnah refers to is the isaron. The Torah teaches the required amount of flour for flour offering in mincha in terms of the isaron. So a mincha may require a full isaron or multiple isaronos of flour. But in fact, there are different versions of the hin liquid measure and the isaron dry measure. There was the original version of the hin and the isaron, the Midbaris version, how much an isaron a hin was at the time the Torah was given in the Midbar. So obviously, when the Torah speaks of the hin of the Isaron, it's referring to how much was in those measures at the time the Torah was given in the Midbar. But at 2 points later in our history, the hin and the Isaron measures were increased by 20%, once in Yerushalayim, and another time by the Chachamim in Tzipori. So you have your small, medium, and large version of these measures. The Mishnah clarifies that when we're trying to determine how much, let's say, wine libation should be offered or how much flour should be brought as a korban mincha, you certainly do not use the hin of the isaron that was current in the time of the Mishnah. Rather, the Mishnah says, shiurun b'italki. You look to the Italian version of the hin and the isaron for zo midbaris. For the Italian version is equal to the original midbaris version before, again, the hin and the isaron were twice over time increased by 20%. And so when engaging in commerce, people would use a larger version of the hin and the isaron. But if it was a halach question of, you know, how much wine libation or flour offering, well, we have to use the Italian hin or isaron, which is equal again to the original Midbaris biblical version of those measures. The Mishnah continues, v'yesha amru hakol lefi mashehu adam. In other cases, the halachic measure is subjective. It's not a fixed volume, but the amount a person has to use to accomplish the mitzvah depends on the individual. The first example of this is a kometz mincha, the mitzvah for the kohen to take a kometz portion of the flour offering and burn that on the mizbeach. How much is a kometz? It's the amount of flour that the kohen scoops up when he inserts his hand into the flour and then closes his three middle fingers, makes a scoop that way. The amount of flour that he picks up is the kometz. And since the pasuk describes this as melo kumtso, the amount of flour that fills up his kometz, we understand that it is a subjective thing. We don't say that there is some average kometz size. You take the amount of flour that an average person would scoop when he forms a kometz. No, it's whatever this individual kohen picks up with his kometz. Similarly, v'hachofen as a kataras. The kohen gadol performs the mitzvah of filling his cupped hands with kataras that he burns in the Kodesh Kadashim on Yom Kippur. How much exactly is hachofen? It's the amount of kataras that fills the cupped hands of the individual kohen gadol performing that avoda. For the pasuk says that he shall take melo chafnav, his Malochafnav, the amount of kataras that fills his cupped hands. In the third instance of this, the Mishnah says, Alachiz v'ashosa kimelo lugmav b'yom kippurim. One is liable to the punishment of kares if on Yom Kippur he drinks an amount of a beverage that fills his cheek. Even though, generally speaking, when it comes to a prohibition against drinking something, full liability happens when a person drinks a fixed amount of a revius, quarter of a lug. When it comes to the prohibition not to drink on Yom Kippur, halacha is not based on a fixed amount, rather it's subjective. And that is because the way the Torah teaches the prohibition not to eat or drink on Yom Kippur is with the language of one who does not afflict himself in Yom Kippur is liable to kares. So meaning, once a person has eaten or drunk an amount that actually brings him satisfaction, he has at that point committed a full violation, is then liable to kares. Now when it comes to eating on Yom Kippur, the Chacham actually determined there is a fixed amount for that. Even if someone is larger, he will find satisfaction if he has an amount of food equal to the size of a large date. But when it comes to drinking, Chazal said this is subjective. The individual only gets a minimal level of satisfaction from drinking if he has a whole cheekful of the beverage. And so that will vary depending on the size of the individual. It's the amount of liquid that fills his cheek. And if he takes all of the liquid in his mouth and puts it to one side, and it fills up that cheek, if he had that amount of Yom Kippur, he's then fully liable to the punishment of kares. If he drink less than that, it's forbidden, but he's not liable for the severe punishment of kares. The Mishnah continues with another example where a halachic minimum is subjective. This next one pertains to the law of tchum. The law of tchum restricts a person in terms of how far he can walk from his place of residence on Shabbos. Specifically, you take his place of residence. If he is residing in some town for Shabbos, then the entire town is his place of residence, and you measure from that town 2,000 amos. Person can't travel beyond that point, 2,000 amos from, let's say, the town on Shabbos. So what if the person wants to go, let's say, to some shir, walk there on Shabbos, and the Beis Medrash where the shir is going to be given is more than 2,000 amos from the city limits? The person can solve this problem through an Eruv. That is, before Shabbos, he deposits the amount of food that he needs for two meals in a spot that is within 2,000 amos of where he's going to be spending Shabbos, and also within 2,000 amos of that Beis Medrash, which is located away from his town. And the halacha then considers his place of residence to be that spot where he set up the Eruvei Tchumen. So he gets 2,000 amos in each direction from the Eruv. And therefore, again, as long as his literal place of residence and the place he wants to get there on Shabbos are within that range, he'll be able to get there on Shabbos without violating the law of Tchum. So the Mishnah says, here we have another example of a halachic measure that is subjective. As the Mishnah says, "Ukamazon shtei seudos la'eruv," that when the Rabbanan said that he has to deposit an amount of food he would eat in two meals at his Eruv location, it means how much food this individual has in two meals. Meaning that if the individual in question eats less than the average person, then he won't have to put as much food there to establish his Eruv Tchumen, and this only cuts to be lenient. Let's say he is a Rafson, he eats much more than the average person, we wouldn't require him to put more. The point is, it's a leniency. The whole thing is rabbinic. So the Rabbanan gave a leniency that if the individual eats less than the average person, then he only has to deposit for his heir of the amount of food that he has over two meals. The Mishnah presents what appears to be a dispute on the issue of when we speak of how much food a person has in two meals, are we referring to two meals of a weekday or two meals on Shabbos? But as we'll see, there's actually no dispute here. First opinion says, Mizona l'chol of a lola Shabbos. We work with the amount of food he has in two meals on the weekday, not on Shabbos. Steve Rabbi Meir, these are the words of Rabbi Meir. However, Rabbi Yehuda said the opposite. We work with the amount of food he has, the Shabbos of a lola chol, in two meals on Shabbos, not on the weekday. The Mishnah clarifies, Eilu ve'eilu mischavnin l'hakel. Both opinions, both Rabbi Meir and Rabbi Yehuda, are teaching a leniency. They're both saying that of the two options, using two weekday meals or two Shabbos meals, we go with the option of the lesser amount. It's just that Rabbi Meir's personal practice was to eat more on Shabbos because Shabbos food is more tasty. Whereas Rabbi Yehuda referred to his practice of eating less in his Shabbos meals as during the week, the practice was to have two meals a day. But at Shabbos, of course, we have to have Suda Shlishis, a total of three meals over the course of Shabbos. And so to spread things out, each individual meal had less food than a weekday meal. But the point is that whichever in practice is the lesser of the two is the amount the person will have to deposit for Zeruve Techumen. The Mishnah presents another two opinions. These other opinions argue that, in fact, there is a hard minimum here. That when Chazal said, Zeruve Techumen consists of two meals, there is a fixed minimum. Rabbi Shimon said that minimum is Mishtei Yados Lekikar Mishalosh Lekav. Now, what's the two meals? It's two-thirds of a loaf. So, as Rabbi Shimon says, that for the purpose of Erevit Chumen, the definition of the minimum amount of bread for the meal is a third of a loaf. So, for two meals, it's two-thirds of a loaf. How large is a loaf? Rabbi Shimon says, for the purpose of this halacha we're working with, where from one kav of wheat, you get three loaves. Now, in a kav, you have 24 eggs. So, that means each loaf has the volume of 8 eggs. Again, Rabbi Shimon says that the amount of bread for two meals is two-thirds of a loaf. So two-thirds of 8, that's 5 1/3 eggs is the amount of bread a person has to deposit to set up a proper Eruvei Techumen. However, Rabbi Yochanan ben Baroka Omer, he understands the minimum differently. He says, what is the minimum amount of bread required to set up Eruvei Techumen? What's the minimum that's considered or two meals of bread for the purpose of Eruvei Techumen? Is Mikikar. It's a full loaf. How much is a full loaf? Bepudyon me'arba sa'in misela. It is the size loaf that will sell for a punyon when 4 sa' of wheat sells for a sela. And so if you crunch the numbers and you account for the baker's, you know, cost of labor and profit margin, it amounts to a loaf that's equal to the volume of 6 eggs. That's the amount the person has to deposit to set up his eruvei techumen. The halach is in accordance with the Mishnah's first position. That is, that it depends on the individual. If the individual eats less than this amount, less than the average person would have in two meals, which is 6 eggs, we do a Rulak Rabbi Yochanan Broka in terms of that. But if the individual eats less than that, then his Eruvei Techumen could be smaller. If he eats more than the average person, then we always go Lakula, it's always lenient, and he doesn't have to have a larger Eruvei Techumen. Rather, he could deposit 6 eggs worth of bread, meaning the amount an average person has over two meals, stopped by Rabbi Yochanan ben Broka, which is the volume of bread that's equal to 6 eggs.
You've just experienced another Torah class brought to you by TorahAnytime.com.